Good morning, everybody. It's good to see so many of you here. This may sound like a daunting process, but it really is. Once you get into the groove and have the opportunity to know the different steps involved in the process, I think you can find it quite rewarding. I want to thank Patricia especially for inviting me back. As I previously introduced, I'm sort of a recovering JPC co-chair and action board chair, and also been involved in the public health education and health promotion section for many years, and chair the resolutions committee. So this is a process I particularly enjoy because I do think it's very impactful and very important that APHA continues to provide leadership on important issues affecting the public's health. Over the last year, or last year in particular, I kind of said, you know, I have to step back and be in the shoes that you all are and propose a policy myself and find out what it's like to go through that, not just from the other side of the other side of the fence, if you will, but really be someone who has to walk the walk. And so I was involved in putting together a health literacy resolution for APHA that was eventually passed. And so some of the comments that I have for you this morning will really reflect on that policy process and what it was like to take it from soup to nuts, if you will. I have no formal relationships to disclose. Okay, so I imagine many of you, whether it's been on your phone or whether it's been by your car or whatever, are pretty much familiar with having a GPS and how does that get you there. Well, I just wanted to kind of take that off that and give it some context for how you start with the development of a policy and then get it to your actual destination. So the first question I think importantly to ask is this a significant public health problem? As Lynn pointed out, it's not about being a personal hot button for you, but is it important? Is it relevant to the APA mission and why? It could be, is it a credible and are there credible and scientific data to support? Are there evidence-based research that you can point to and not magazine articles or newspaper articles? And then is this a personal passion, or do others in APHA or especially your section feel similarly? Having a personal passion is not a bad thing, but sometimes it can be blinding when you're in the middle of writing a policy statement. And so it's important to kind of step back and say, you know, is this something that I alone carry a banner for, or are there other people who also feel similarly? And thinking about others, thinking about it in that context too, as Lynn pointed out, good policies are about compromise. So you're really coming together with many different disciplines within public health, and so that you're going to have to approach this process with an open mind. Oh, sorry. Okay, so does APHA already have a policy on this topic? Lynn mentioned that we go back to about 1948 in the database of different policies that exist. So you really have to start off going to that database and searching around. Lynn mentioned every year there is a list that the Action Board puts together. They're going to be putting it together on Wednesday of what are some of the policy gaps. They take the big broad view of what's in that policy database, and they say they also think about, okay, so what looks outdated? What are the issues they're getting, the questions they're getting from members of Congress? What are anticipated issues on the federal state agenda over the coming year? And then try to identify a list of those areas where we have policy gaps and really give directive to you or invite you to submit on those topics. Many times, and we're really, as Lynn pointed out in the Action Board, we're taking this very seriously. It's been about, I think, maybe about the eighth year that we've started this archiving process. So we don't want people going into our database while those policies are still there for all members to be able to look at. We don't want all our external stakeholders, that people on the Hill and people in state legislatures and other places, going in and saying and finding a 1958 carcinogenic policy of APHA. We want to have the latest science and be seen as a credible source. So is the policy outdated? That's a place to start. Why now? Are there things that make this a compelling topic to move it ahead? For example, last year in health literacy, we knew that having a new health reform act in place spoke to the issue of health literacy. There was a national action plan on health literacy moving forward, and also the Healthy People 2020 objectives. So that was really important that APHA speak out on this topic in the context of some of those developing activities. And then what makes your perspective unique or compelling? It's something for you to think about why your policy would be moving forward. One thing I want to point out, when you do go into the policy database, it's important to use not just one or two keywords. If I searched only on health literacy, I might have come up with one existing policy statement. You have to look at it from a lot of different vantage points. Because the especially in the older days when we were just starting the policy database for APHA, those terms that are contemporary may not have existed. So like CBPR, community-based participatory research, if you were writing something on that today, you certainly wouldn't find that in the APHA database 20 years ago. So be creative, think about it from a number of different vantage points, not just one keyword. Where do you want APHA to go? A good policy can take 2, 3, 4 months, 6 months to develop. So you don't start the week or month before the deadline. I really, as I think Marcia, you were saying before, you're trying to bring forward a policy statement on behalf of the Health Administration section. You've been working at it for a number of months to really bring the best credible science into the policy statement and make sure it's well written. So you really need to be giving yourself adequate time to address this. Involve and get input from multiple stakeholders. Especially important to work with your section. That gives a lot of credibility to the JPC when they're looking at the policy statement. Working with your section or multiple sections gives it an added credence that it's been through some review process internally and they endorse it moving on. How does the JPC timeline align with your personal timeline? This is not something you're going to find on the APHA website, but it's something I found very valuable. First of all, if you're looking at the key deadlines, and Lynn said, you know, usually the end of January, if you know in the end of January you're going to be very tied up with a lot of work or personal issues, that's something you have to, you know, give yourself adequate time for. The APHA annual meeting, it's really important for the authors to be there to represent their policy statement. And are you planning to attend next year's meeting in San Francisco? I think it's just something you have to give yourself a broader horizon to think about. Then planning your route. Lynn mentioned the deadline. This is not flexible. It is written in stone. So be sure to go get that deadline in your daytimer, in your phone, everywhere else that you need reminders, because there are no extensions in this process. There is such a well-oiled machine that the process has to unfold behind after you submit that first policy statement, that you can't, there is no time for APHA to say, oh, okay, yeah, you had a bad day, you didn't get it in, your computer crashed, this, that, and the other. No, we can't be flexible for those kinds of things because so many other people's work is depending upon that first deadline. Obtain copies of all references. You might think that's a no-brainer, but again, we find in reviewing the policies that people haven't gone back to the original references and really looked at what they say. And many times that'll come back to haunt you in the long run. So I really recommend you don't rely on secondary references, but you get copies of them. When I walked into that JPC, when I walked into the action, the hearings that happened on Saturday, I had every reference with me because I didn't want someone to say, well, that's not accurate. I'd be able to pull it out and show them where exactly I took that information from, what the citation was. That just, to me, helped provide a lot of confidence and helped deflect other kinds of criticism. Invite others along for the journey. Lynn mentioned not only your section, I also went in and said, what are the largest sections in APHA that would care about the health literacy issue? Gee, I'm going to reach out to those folks and ask them to review the policy and make sure that they don't have an issue that I haven't thought about, or integrate their comments into the first go-around. Anticipate some roadblocks and obstacles. Think about what could come up and prevent you from meeting the deadline. What other sections might oppose this and how to get around that? Is your policy controversial? A lot of times we send back policies because they haven't adequately thought through, what's the other side of this issue? For example, health literacy could cost the government a lot more money in terms of rewriting all of its regulations in plain language. So think about the economic impact and any other kind of controversial issues that might come up. And then consider the outcome. Again, the policy action statements have to be external, not direct. Now, I just wanted to clarify, what is external? So in my case, it was, in the health literacy case, we were advocating, therefore APHA advocates that Congress and federal agencies, begin to address all policies in plain language. We recommended that researchers expand the concepts that they're doing in terms of health literacy and how that impacts the public's health, and that professional preparation programs in public health begin to do more training in health literacy for public health professionals. So APHA is advocating. What our policy didn't say is that APHA internally must make sure that they have 5 different presentations on the annual meeting about health literacy. That would be considered an internal action. But external actions are APHA urging Congress, urging professional preparation programs, et cetera, to do something. Okay, just wanted to clarify that. And I also strongly recommend not being too specific. So if you point to I was actually reviewing the resolutions that are going to be voted on tomorrow that have made past JPC review. And in a couple of cases, I was really surprised to see some of the external actions start to introduce new concepts. When you're at that point, you've developed your justification, then you go to advocate for external actions, you should not be bringing in new ideas at that point. You should have had your arguments all up front, and then therefore APHA advocates or recommends to do X, Y, and Z. And in at least 3 or 4 cases I looked at them, I'm saying, why are they bringing this in at the bottom line? They should have made this argument up front and therefore advocated APHA to do X, Y, and Z. Just another thing that I think one of the terrific things that APHA is doing now that hadn't done, I guess this is as Lynn's saying, everything changes and improves. Once the JPC will look at your policy statement and make a determination on it, they'll actually they use this online policy proposal checklist. And that's a good thing that you should also refer to. But then they're also publishing online exactly what sections reviewed your policy statement and whether they gave it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And that information can be really important to you as you move your policy beyond the JPC review. Okay, so many of the times, believe me, the JPC are people like you and me. They don't go out there and say, I can't wait to take an X to this policy. They really don't look at it as they want to be punitive. They take responsibility very seriously, and they want the policies that do move forward to be on sound scientific grounds. But they're not looking to take a red pen to your paper. That's just not the approach we try to take. Most of the time, if there is good science behind it and we think there's a good value in having such a policy on the books, I'll give you a conditional review. And I think Maureen's going to go into more depth on the different ways that JPC evaluates the policy. But view those comments very positively. I don't take it too personally. Try to look at it as a way to make your initial draft stronger. You can Each of the JPC reps that review, each of the JPC reps have a responsibility to communicate with the author and to be a resource for the author. So if you don't understand something that came back along the way in terms of a comment to say strengthen X, Y, and Z, and you want more clarification, reach out to that JPC reviewer. That's part of our role. That's part of our responsibility. Don't wait to the last minute to turn it in. There's a strict deadline. If you've been given a conditional review, there's a strict deadline, line in the sand again, by which you must resubmit the policy and address each of the comments that the JPC reviewer gave you or the review gave you. So don't wait until the last minute again, because, my personal experience, it can be very stressful, and you don't want to take all the effort you put into it at that point and have it go down the drain because you missed a deadline. Okay, so preparing for arrival. You've got the policy in. It went through JPC review. They gave you feedback. You resubmitted it, addressing their questions, and now it's going on for final vote at the APHA annual meeting. What happens then? Well, again, if you hadn't to this point, it is a good opportunity to alert other sections to the fact that you've got this policy moving forward and you want their support. And a lot of times, you know, if other sections haven't given you comments at that pre-invitation phase that you opened up, they'll come to the hearing and be giving you comments. So it's best defense is a good offense. I contacted every section chair and let them know, hey, we've got this, public health ed has this policy going forward. We'd love to hear from you. So I knew when I got to the hearing if I was going to get, you know, blindsided by another issue I hadn't realized was there. Attend that open hearing. It's going to be on Sunday. It's really important. That was in context to that new JPC summary. But attend the open hearing. It's really important for you to be there as and your co-authors to be there to be part of the process. Be prepared to have a brief opening statement or summary of the problem and what the actions you're asking to be taken. Bring your references as a backup. Be open-minded to additional changes and wordsmithing. That just is what will happen on that Sunday afternoon. You have to be prepared to come, you know, to evaluate others' recommendations and to see if they fit it within your policy. And then I always encourage other colleagues to attend the hearing to provide the personal testimony or that they think that the issue is important and APHA needs to take a stand. And again, that's it also provides you some moral support. Okay, you've arrived. The Governing Council is your final stop. That's tomorrow. That the Governing Council will be looking at all the resolutions and making a final determination. Again, you want to say the folks that will be sitting on the floor and having the little opportunity to do the voting, that they're supportive. Sometimes there could be horse trading on the floor among the different sections to say, well, if you do this, I'll help you get somebody elected to a particular position. So be aware that there is some savviness to this process. And you can always attend the Governing Council hearing yourself. It's an open process, and it might be very gratifying for you to see your policy then go forward or to hear if there are any particular objections on the floor that hadn't been raised before. Okay, the end. It's really, to me, the beginning. I mean, it may sound like you're exhausted at the end of this process, but just getting an APHA policy passed, while it is critically important, the work begins after that. You have to help disseminate and let people know about the policy and be involved, all of us as APHA members, in getting it implemented. It's not just the APHA staff, governing relations department, is only a couple people. Think about the breadth of issues that they represent. So they need all of our help in making sure our congressional staff are aware, our state-level legislatures are aware, our state APHA units are aware of this policy, and that's where you can really come in. And you can be involved in advocating within your section that they propose a session for on the topic at next year's program. You can use your social media to help get out awareness that this policy exists. And be on the lookout for when a particular piece of legislation comes forward where you think your policy is especially relevant. And share your success and experiences with others. Once you've been through this process, there's so many people out there that could use your help and support on the next time around. So thank you very much for your attention, and good luck.